Thank you, Mayor.
Appreciate that. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Brad Robbins. I am the Liverpool City Planner. I have been for a while. My previous life, I was a city manager in California. I was also planning director and utility director. But I've been helping the Perkin out now for what, Mayor? Maybe the last 3 or 4 years or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. And so what we're going to talk about here tonight is the downtown area, or what we're calling the downtown. But before we get into that, what I want to do is I want to tell a real brief story to kind of set the stage for what I think this is going to be about tonight. And it's got to do with a couple of old loggers from years and years ago. Years ago, before they had electric saws and gas saws, they used to actually chop wood. And there was a firm up in Washington that had a logging company. And they had one position open, but they had two very, very qualified people that they wanted to hire. So what they decided to do was to have a competition. And whoever chopped the most wood would get the job. And this would be in a 4-hour period. And so they set one guy up over here. They set another one up over here. And at 12 noon, the foreman came in and they started chopping. This guy over here chopped and chopped and chopped and chopped for 4 hours straight. Straight 4 hours. Well, this guy over here, he kind of was taking some breaks. He was hit on a log with his back to this guy a few times. And this guy here was thinking, there ain't no way I'm going to lose this competition. I'm going to win this thing straight out. I'm chopping for 4 hours straight. This guy continued to take a few breaks as he kind of went through his chopping procedure. At the end of the 4 hours, the foreman came back in. He looked at the two stacks of wood. The one who had the most was going to win. And he decided that the guy who won the competition was the one who took the breaks. This other guy couldn't believe it. He ran over to this guy and he said, how in the world did you chop more wood than me when you were busy taking breaks? You had your back to me. You took breaks. And he looked at me and he said, I wasn't chopping wood. I was sharpening my axe. Tonight, what we're going to try to do is sharpen our axes and get ourselves in a position in the city to where we can start looking at things maybe just a little bit differently, but a little bit more intelligently, so we can make some decisions as we go forward. The first thing here we need to talk about is the downtown. But before we get there, I have an approach, and I've always had it the same way. Like I said, I was a city manager. I always believed if you fail to prepare, prepare to fail. We're going to prepare as we go forward with the city. You've got two major things ahead of you. You've got this downtown, and then you've got the upper bench. And the upper bench is going to be a big one. And so we need to prepare as we go forward. And that's going to start tonight. The city is in a unique position right now with the downtown. It's kind of the same position I was in when I was in my career years ago. I worked for the number one fastest growing city in the country. So we had a lot of development going in. Liverpool is in the same situation. You've got a lot of stuff going on. It's mostly focused along your downtown corridor. And tonight, I'm hoping we can make a few decisions as to how to deal with some of this stuff and set a course forward as we go. We can focus on a lot of things, but we can only control some things. And so I think we really need to control what we can and not worry about a lot of stuff. In my experience over the years, cities get into these positions of trying to control sometimes too much. And if you set a nice plan together, you put together the right strategy, it should all fall together for you, and we're going to talk about some of that tonight. I truly believe in being candid, so when we go through this tonight, don't be afraid to say stuff. We have to be candid. We have to be able to throw it on the table. You can say whatever you want to me. I've been called every name in the book over the years as a city manager. Maybe Kyle has too. But it's just part of the job. But throw it out there. Let's be candid. Let's get down to brass tacks and get some of this stuff done that we need to get done. So, again, there's a lot of development going down the corridor. We're going to talk about some specific issues, and we're going to start right here. Darren had talked about maybe putting together some type of a plan for the downtown. So what I did with this little presentation here is talked about what the downtown purpose would be, and then also some guiding principles. But what I'd like to get is some feedback from this if, in fact, the town decides to go in this direction. The purpose of a downtown should be to promote the downtown as the heart of the community, the governmental, cultural, commercial, and social center of the community. Does anybody have a problem with a statement like that for Liberty? Seems logical, okay? Provide an environment for local history and culture to flourish and become an integral feature of the downtown. Stimulate economic development and reinvestment in the downtown area. This is a big one. We're going to talk about that a little bit on the next page because I don't believe Leverkin is catching a lot of that economic development that you could be catching. Support economic activity compatible with the character and scale of the downtown. Encourage high-quality development. Establish zoning regulations, and we have a lot of flexibility here, and we're going to talk about a little bit of that too. Create a pedestrian-friendly environment, which I've heard over the last few years is something the city wanted to do. Preserve and enhance the downtown's residential neighborhoods while accommodating new housing opportunities. You're in that situation to where land values are so high now that chances of things going out are probably more slim than actually development going up. And your downtown lends itself to going up. Preserve and enhance the downtown's residential neighborhoods. We need to talk about that. And then identify and provide necessary upgrades as needed to public facilities, public infrastructure, community. That's where Derek and Kyle come in. These guys know the city like the back of their hand and what would have to be done in order to put an economic development plan and a plan together for the downtown. Now, a guiding principle. I just kind of put this together. Downtown Leverkin should be the heart and of the community for the establishment of mixed uses consisting of retail, housing, entertainment, land uses with its historic housing and commercial buildings as cornerstones. Cumulatively, these features will create a vibrant downtown offering quality pedestrian-oriented village environment. What does everybody think about a statement like that? Is that something that you're thinking about? Is that the downtown? Is that Leverkin? Mayor, any thoughts?
I think that's what we're looking for.
Right. Okay.
You know, I just had a thought that, I mean, I'm sure we'll get to it. I'd like to see what we consider to be downtown.
It's on the list now.
Right. I know we're getting to that. You know, but when we talk about, you put in there historical housing, other things, I think Leverkin has, we have a downtown and then we have Main Street, which is historical. You know, I think it's kind of, there's kind of two different things that we're looking at there, because historically the down, Main Street along the bench is where those historical buildings are at. But anyway.
Well, I think
so there's a culture here, right, of housing and rural and residential, and then there's
the question is, and that's the first question you're gonna get to, I might get to just a second, but what is your downtown? Mm-hmm. And what is defined as your downtown?
I know for a while we also talked about transitional zones, maybe extending that, Route 9 into what before Main Street, just maybe expanding that area a little bit more.
Well, hopefully we can get that defined tonight. So, next slide there.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. As you're all aware, there was a corridor study that was done. It was kind of interesting. Now, it was done by UDOT, of course, so they want to enhance and modify all modes of transportation, which makes sense. Balance travel demands with community goals. The thing that was interesting with me was that one of their goals was to enhance economic development. Now, you've got about 20,000 vehicles a day traveling SR 9 and 17, and that is supposed to double in the next essentially 25 years to 40,000 vehicles a day. My guess is probably not very many of those stop in Leverkin. You're capturing a little bit of that, but with the right downtown and the right plan, you could capture a lot more of that as time goes on. So I thought that was pretty interesting. 20,000 vehicles a day, that's a pretty decent chunk of cars. For where I came from, we had 100,000 vehicles a day on a freeway, but you couldn't move on the freeway. It was logjam. But you've got a lot of people that are coming through here that could take advantage of what Leverkin offers. So with that comes your question. What is your downtown? what you define as your downtown, and what, if there is a plan to be done here, what would be included in that? And that would be nice to figure that out tonight. Maybe the best way to do is start with the mayor as to what you think the downtown is, and then we can kind of go around.
Well, just growing up, downtown was the square, and then now we have the Wellness Park area. That's where, when we have parades or activities, it's either here or down here, as far as the historical part of the town. But as far as the economic development, it's all going to be along SR 9, SR 17. And that's, and I think that's where we need to just concentrate on that. The part of the residential part of downtown here is not going to change a whole lot, but we can develop the areas down here that we have, make them better, I think. But it's just, we've already got a plan for Wellness Park. It's just come up with the money to do it. And there may be monies available as they begin to develop up on top of the hill. One of the developers that was looking at the property even said they would be interested in investing money in downtown Lavergne, the park, and the possibility of helping get the elementary school so that that could be our city center.
Does anybody see the downtown in different terms than what the mayor described?
Yeah, I see definitely the Wellness Park area is a critical hub. You know, that's where the open space is. That's where all the hotels are. But you got to tie in the hot springs, and that's going to be developed up there by the bridge too.
Yeah.
So somehow those are the two hubs, and somehow I don't know how you connect those together. But people need to be able to have open, you know, walking and biking and between those two.
Yeah, it's basically about a mile.
Yeah.
From one end to the other, and a lot of people walk more than a mile every day. So.
Yeah, but it's yeah, we got to develop that because I rode from the hot springs to my house the other day, and I thought I was taking my life in my hands. The sidewalk was like a roller coaster, and it's about this wide. And trees were hanging in it.
Yeah.
Remember, it's uneven.
It's uneven, yeah. It's like, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, my dog doesn't like that road.
It's good to point out, too, that the things like the parade are always, we're always going to use Main Street for that because we have control over Main Street. State Street is out of our control, and closing it down, that kind of thing is not really an option for us. So the historical stuff is probably going to be along Main Street. The economic stuff is going to be along Main Street.
Yeah. So are you guys saying kind of a circle here where 17 and SR9 and like
down
is that
to like
is
Zion's
that
down to 200?
Right.
You have still a lot of undeveloped property here, 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 and along here. Let's see, where's 200?
And then there's a lot of opportunity with
that
3 acres of Kelly Guymon's, which is, I guess, is in escrow.
It's going to be there.
Right here.
That's according to his realtor.
And this property, the Squire's property across from the Hot Springs is, the Hot Springs is already bringing a lot of people to Lavergne. And there's, I was just talking to some of the people that are, I was talking with Joey Church, and he said a lot of their people that come for their Airbnbs in the silos, they come there for the hot springs.
Yeah, they advertise it a lot.
And it's becoming a destination point for a lot of people. And then we're getting, I'm sure, getting some people from the park that are going to the park and then want to stop at the hot springs. So it's getting to be, I was looking at the parking lot and they had this afternoon.
But those people are going to
be almost full.
Yeah.
They're going to be staying at 500 North.
Yeah.
And so somehow we got it.
That connection between those two hubs is difficult because they feel like they should be connected. There's a lot in between those two that's not expressly commercial, not expressly super well connected. I think right here around 100 South, that's a hard spot to bridge through. But are we seeing it as from State Street over to Main, like covering that whole section of downtown, or more of the State Street's side and not so much of the Main?
Mayor was saying more of State Street.
More of State Street. Not quite extending it over to Main as part of the downtown.
Just, I think Main 200 north and up is wise because it's all empty. But south of 200.
If we're defining downtown as walkable, it needs to not be our whole commercial district because we need things that don't fit in that tourist commercial category. I think hubbed around 500 North and State Street, I think it seems like that should be the center, and then down to Wormless Park.
I think you're going to have a lot of stuff on Main Street too. There will be like bicyclists and all of that forms of transportation because they're just not going to be safe out on the highway. And the highway is probably as wide as it's going to get right now.
But John, you walk a lot, I'd imagine. A lot more walkers and bikers on Main Street.
Yeah,
than
and I think that we have the width on Main Street for things like bike lanes, you know. There are going to be some parking issues there and stuff like that. But, you know, some of the larger properties kind of intrude all the way into Main Street, and that's why I'm kind of curious if those would be more favorable to some kind of business development or mixed use or that kind of effect. You know, and maybe some of that will help with the accessibility from Main and have some frontage on Main on those larger properties. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the way I kind of see it.
Did anyone see the actual study, like the maps that you don't put together for their quarter study? Mm-hmm. I know there was some maybe conflicting with some views on some alternate roadways that could be installed, but I thought it was very interesting, and they actually stated it pretty clearly. I know we don't think the roadway can be wider, but if you have 40,000 vehicles a day, UDOT's going to take what they need to put the road in. That's just how UDOT runs. But it was interesting to me that on their design, they actually showed parallel parking. They showed diagonal parking. Their intent, or what they were hoping for us, is to be able to slow traffic down and have additional parking. So I feel like we almost have to define that downtown feel that we're going for. Because if we can do that and help UDOT to see that, they're going to work with us. They need to get traffic through, but they're going to work with us as well.
Yeah, for a while they had that one-way loop that looked kind of interesting, and it opened a little bit more of that territory up to shops and businesses and those kind of things.
But they had a lot more on-street parking than I expected from UDOT, so I think we have to almost define that field too.
Well, I think that's kind of when we were discussing of trying to purchase the elementary and moving the city offices and everything so that could all of Wormless and all of that could become more of the...
I was thinking about one-way traffic.
The downtown.
One-way
hub.
And here, and that would put three stoplights within a block almost on SR9 going up the hill, and that just didn't work.
Yeah. I just worry about all those cars. If there's any accidents we've had up the hill lately.
The big thing, the big improvement they did was to have a turning arrow on that stop line site, stop right here. Mm-hmm. Before, traffic was backing that south all the way to here. Yep. Up the hill, you couldn't get across Main Street. And that old Patty was complaining because she couldn't get across Main Street.
Well, and ultimately, they may have no choice but to put in more lights, you know.
Yeah.
It's just the more traffic comes in, they're going to have to slow it down or release it in different ways.
This is hard because right along State Street, there's so many private properties on the east side that I don't know if, you know, how we can do anything outside of those areas. Because you're still going to have those areas to depend on. You can have this beautiful downtown, but if you have to go through dead trees and stuff, you're going to have to push to make it a really great downtown.
See, the way I see it, I've been here 10 years now, and I didn't even know Main Street existed when I first got here. Because it's kind of a more community feel, as you were saying. You have two things here, in my opinion. You have your economic corridor, which is the highway, and then you've got your downtown, so to speak, which is your Main Street area. And they can be two separate areas that kind of commingle each other. But the question was, sounds like downtown is pretty much the Main Street area, correct? And then you've got your economic corridor. Or it can all, can all be the same. It's just,
I think the phrase downtown is throwing me. And that's,
well, you don't have
like
a, yeah,
downtown with houses. It just doesn't.
Yeah, you don't
jive.
Have a traditional downtown.
Yeah.
And that's part, it's a blessing and a curse at the same time, because you've got somewhat of a clean slate playing with, where a lot of cities have that old downtown and they're stuck mm-hmm. with it, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and the thing that we don't have on Main Street is any kind of business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
right.
completely residential. And so, you know, to think it's more of a walkable area, it you know, that doesn't exist as much through that kind of a neighborhood.
Right. Right. So I guess the bigger question is, do you see, you want State Street basically economic development?
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Some type of a plan for that, and then have like a community kind of a center type of thing. Main Street would be more of that than your economic corridor, which would be down State
Grant,
Street.
If you look at, just look at Springdale, they don't have an option, and so all their economic development and their Main Street
yeah.
is all
Darwin.
Business and busy. And we go to Zion a lot, and probably once a week, and we'll go through Springdale, and then we come home, we'll turn on Main Street, and it is so nice to go through the quiet of the work, and it's amazing how quiet the work is when just a block over SR9 is zooming. And so to be able to preserve that quietness in some form, that would be wonderful, whether we call it downtown or whatever.
Well, and I agree with that. I mean, and that was to my comment. I think people who live here or people who come to stay love Main Street because it's unique, it is quiet. You know, here a few weeks ago when you were blindsided by the public hearing on the R110 and that stemmed from maybe a little bit of panic for me, realizing that from 200 North to Wanless, we've got a big section that could end up in triplexes. And to me, that was like changing this corridor, this downtown, or whatever we call it, but kind of the heart, you know. And so that's what I'm just saying, like, whoa, let's take some time, let's make sure we want to figure out what we want and plan for it, because it's like Brad said, it's coming quick with the values and everything here. And I think we saw with the fields that went in, whatever our ordinances allow, developers are going to take every bit that they can out of what's allowed, and you can't fault them for it if the ordinance allows it. And we don't realize it till after the fact, you know, after it's done. And I know a few others on the council, and we're not pointing fingers at anyone, but a lot of times it's like, why did you do that? Or how? And I think all of us were just like, well, we were just kind of surprised with what the end result ended up being. You know,
They look nice.
Oh yeah,
but they.
It just doesn't kind of fit.
They like the parking and the open areas for,
yeah,
even for businesses, you know.
The way that when I was on the outsider, when those were passed and started being built, we just kind of figured it was little by little over the course of however long they were proposing things. And, oh, well, we ran into this problem. Can we change this? And before you knew it, the whole original idea was different. And I think that's kind of probably what happened. And
I don't think anyone is to blame or at fault. It's just the ordinance allowed it, and a developer is going to maximize it for what they can get out of it. You know, they're putting a lot of money to purchase it, and they're trying to get the most out of it. But anyway, so just I would really like to preserve Main Street as much as we can and keep. Yeah, I'm even having a hard time on 300, where we. You know what's going in right there with those motels, right? Like we don't have a buffer zone between the commercial and the residential. It's just if we're not careful, it just creeps.
Yeah. Well, and what's interesting is, you know, the town has kind of gradually changed from the old R114 to R110 to R18 over time, and the lots have gotten smaller, but we still have these kind of older homes that have much more property than they're zoned for, and,
right.
and the people there kind of want to use them for something. And mm-hmm. You know, maybe we can zone them appropriately so that they look better by, you know, increasing setbacks or, you know, mm-hmm. Size of homes or those kind of things. But we have an awful lot of places in R110 now that are maybe a throwback from R114,
right.
but just are much bigger. And so that we lock those people into, we can never develop your property either. Mm-hmm. I've already started to hear from people that want duplexes. And, you know,
right.
We recently approved, you know, casitas on 10,000 mm-hmm. square feet. So we actually have two homes on 10,000 square feet. So maybe we do something with that also. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of it is, like you said, just
progression.
Progression. Yeah.
Because it's all subdevelopments now. Mm-hmm. And if you see through the center of town, that's mostly what that is. And at the edges or onto the hill on the gorge side, it's all larger lots. Mm-hmm. And so whether those will ever stay that way completely or how they'll be developed. I don't know. I have a piece of land that I can develop, but it's about 2 acres of land, and I'm in an R110 zone. So, you know, there's a lot of that exists in town.
Mm-hmm.
Brad, I think you did need to know, be aware too, that as the city, we designated Main Street as the active transportation corridor through the town of Arlington. So that's already designated with 5 county association buildings.
Okay.
So they're planning on that being a corridor to put active transportation.
Okay. Darren was talking about that there may be some grant money for a plan for the downtown and the corridor. Is that something the city would be interested in doing, putting together a plan that would actually kind of focus in some of these thoughts that you've been hearing about?
But not just for this, but also topside, right?
I mean, topside, yeah, that's completely different.
Yeah.
I was at Chamber of Commerce meeting just last month and just a couple weeks ago, and D.R. Horton was there, and they announced that they have that property, or that Sitla property up there, and he said, we're planning on doing a planned community development up there, and so they'll be coming to us, and they're going to have a plan, they'll want to lay out to us, and we're going to have to make the decision on what they want to do and what we'd like to see happen. And if you looked at Long Valley, there's a lot of small homes that are your neighbor's wall is your wall. But I also know that for the younger generation, it's very hard to get into a home. And their cheapest home that they were offering was $350,000, and they offered some financing for it too, and it's more like condo units and things like that. And I talked with him for a little bit, and I said, I don't know how you're going to make that pencil out up there, because it's going to cost a lot of money just to get it to where you can build anything. So.
The city is extremely fortunate to have D.R. Horton. I've worked with them in the past in California. They have the money, they have the resources, they have the ability to put together a decent plan up in that area and actually make it happen. So if anybody can do it, they'll be able to do it.
They're definitely I think, if not the largest home builder in the country, they are close to it.
I think they're number two.
Yeah.
I'm also concerned with their quality, their reputation. Yeah. Like, the bigger they get, the worse quality and reputation they have, and I've seen tons of videos of them going up things, so we have to be a little leery, especially, but yeah, they are, do have a lot of resources, for sure.
They do, and from what I've seen in other areas of Utah, a lot of developers come in without those resources, and you end up with this kind of piecemeal type thing that goes on, where at least D.R. Horton will be able to put it all together. Now, my guess up there is they're probably not going to build it all themselves. They'll be farming a lot of the stuff out, especially the commercial and that type of thing, because they all have specialties and they do.
They don't do commercial.
I walked through that development in Long Valley, And there were some really neat features over there with the trails they put in and the swimming pools and amenities. And it was cool seeing all these families walking around with their baby strollers. And there's a lot of walkable areas.
I did like the open spaces, you know, that they have there. The affordability, sorry, I mean, my daughter and son-in-law just spent $400,000 to get 900 square feet on the fourth floor.
Wow.
They're at the Walmart distribution center. You know what I mean? Like, it's like even when you try to, I think there's a profit that has to be made, right? And so they're maximizing profit, and I mean to have to climb to the fourth floor each time, you know, for 900 square feet, you know, to pay that much.
And I think we have to be realistic. Oh, sorry, Mike.
No, go ahead.
We have to be realistic with some of our issues, too. You know, we've come into this city council, and all of a sudden, we have to raise these water rates to sky high. We've got a 100,000 deficit with our irrigation. We have roads that are pretty sad shape.
Are going to be worse after the irrigation?
Yeah.
Lines get put into.
And unfortunately, you know, we've got to raise money. Like, we can't keep taxing the citizens. We've got to get revenue coming in. So we do have to be wise with this development, that we can make it so that we only have 13 blocks. Like, we've got to get some revenue coming in, because we know property taxes aren't doing what they used to do. They're just not getting the money to the cities anymore. And so it comes from tax. It comes from either taxing the citizens, you know, or charging them, or we figure out how to get people, those 20,000 people, to stop and spend some money here.
I was, when we were back in the Midwest, I was looking at a lot of homes back there. That you get a huge home and a big lot for not very much money, but the property taxes on those homes are probably 3 or 4 times more than what we pay here. I was like, my goodness, I don't know if you could afford the taxes once you bought the home.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and when we get to this point, there's going to be timing issues too. Most developers want to move, and they want decisions, and they want to be able to do their thing. And that's not only for the top side, but that'll be in this area here. So I have a pretty good feel of what you're talking about. I mean, we can talk to the county. Is that who you talked to about?
Yeah, the county has some money available that they've committed for a downtown plan. So we didn't, unfortunately, didn't get that grant through the state, but the county's was substantial. I think it was like $30,000.
Yeah.
Oh, 60.
I wish.
Have we defined yet what downtown is for us?
I don't know, but it has to be cool, because otherwise, when they develop up top, they're going to build the downtown for us. No one's going to be down here.
We're reworking the general plan right now, and the way it's currently written is to encourage rural agricultural feel. It feels like we're being pulled in two directions. One is to maintain that. We're down here, limit lot sizes and limit density, and then dump density up there. The other plan is to make the city one city and allow for density. Hopefully that will provide more affordable housing. Maybe that's not going to happen. I don't know. Maybe there's no such thing as affordable housing anymore, but it feels like we need somehow to make more affordable housing. Down here is the logical available right now place. Up there is maybe later with a big developer. We kind of just need to decide what we want down here to be. If we want to keep the master plan the way it is and have a separate section for up there, or whether we want to change the master plan to encourage more density, more building up down here. And I don't know, it feels like we're being pulled both directions.
Well, the value of the land will dictate your density. It's just the reality of it, unfortunately. And the value of land right now is expensive. So the only way to get anything is, like Micah said, his daughter, son-in-law.
Daughter.
Yeah,
right.
You've got to go up.
Yeah, I know for a long time we were talking about, you know, on Route 9, having storefronts with two or three stories above. And, you know,
we're going to talk about mixed
condominiums.
So yeah, that's part of this whole downtown corridor plan. But I guess the bigger question is, do you want to plan for this, or do you just want to do it piecemeal as it's been done in the past?
We have to plan. Like, you look at Hurricane, and it's ridiculous. Like, there's no, like, who's stopping Hurricane other than to get a hamburger? Like, I don't want Hurricane to be, like, just a pass-through. Like, I want a beautiful, like, Ancestor Square type set town where people stop and walk and enjoy it. And the people come from the hotels. And
so you're talking State Street. You're talking the economic development of State Street.
Yeah. I think that's what we need to focus on, is State Street and economic development. I think the Main Street will be what it's going to be and what it already is. It's going to be residential. Businesses aren't going to come talking about.
But we can beautify it. We can have beautiful light posts.
I think you can do some stuff on Main Street to not have the main State Street spill into Main Street. And I think maybe we should look at Main Street by business as well and keep kind of the old style. And obviously, if you're going to keep the old style on Main Street, you're probably going to have the old homes that are going to be refurbished into businesses and not that type of look. And I guess we want that type of look, or do you want more modern type of feel on Main Street? Because it's going to fill over for Main Street if we just focus on State Street.
I do know we're changing Main Street a little bit because those of my memories put flags out on State Street, and we had a Boy Scout doing the Eagle Scout project, and the flags will now be posted because we're posting on Main Street instead for safety reasons. But, so you're going to have that. I think it's going to be more of your traditional type stuff, community events is going to happen over there.
Well, my guess is too now that on State Street, now that you've got the UDOT plan, you can probably apply for some money to upgrade State Street. Kind of like, you know, you come through Hurricane, as soon as you hit the bridge, all the landscaping goes away. My guess is there's probably some money that can be obtained from that if we had a more detailed plan as to how to do it and what to do.
Yeah. Right now, UDOT's attitude is you want to do that, you're going to pay for it. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
We've applied for it. All those fancy lampposts and all that stuff. We buy those.
Well, you got to start somewhere. So
yeah.
You could do that if you have a plan of a designated that.
Yeah.
Yes, never a better time than now where you still have so many fields, because I can tell you right now there's no spot for a lamppost. You're going to take out your sidewalk. Like, we got to have better landscaping. We got to have space. Because right now, I would never walk down State Street. Like, we've got to get pedestrians a little safer.
So
we are pushing in our construction standards to push SR9 to 8 to 10 foot sidewalks.
Mm-hmm. Make it more walkable.
Yeah, and get everybody away from traffic.
And if our code and stuff has a landscaping plan and a lighting plan and things like that in place, the developers will pay for that. We just have to have it in code.
Brad made a really good point the other day. We were talking about it. He's talked about this city and they had to come up with the northern part and the southern part of the area with a plan. I was at the northern part, decided to do a plan, and it became so economically sound, well designed. The other one just was hodgepodge, and now you go there and it's terrible.
And that's the concern here, is that if you don't come up with something, you're just going to get whatever comes your way. So it sounds like State Street is the place we need to focus on as far as economic development and develop a plan for State Street. Maybe do Main Street secondly. Mm-hmm. But is that consensus here?
Yeah, it sounds like State Street lead into Main Street through the park.
Okay. So if that's the case, then, you know, as part of any plan, you're gonna redefine some development standards. We're going to rethink the streetscape and circulation, which we can figure that part out. Infrastructure requirements, depending upon what the plan actually is, these guys will handle. They're the best in the business at that. there's going to be some type of a fiscal approach to the downtown as to how you're going to actually develop some of this stuff, which would be part of the plan. And then economic development, your gig there. Once you kind of figure out what you want to do, you go sell that plan. And then you got to go do the community outreach part of it. But that can all be part of the plan as it goes forward. So any other questions about that? Now what I want to do is get into some specific issues that are going on down here that we've kind of been dealing with and struggling with a little bit. And to start with, that would be the Vitaplex development or the Roosh development. I think you all know this building. It's been sitting there for years. Quite frankly, it's an eyesore. And I've talked to Jacob Roche about what to do out here. And he's come up with this design, is to redesign this as a hotel and then some units out here. I told him initially there was a trash enclosure out here. We had it moved over there. There's been some redesign that's gone on. But I told him, you can't just come in with these, you know, log cabin type of things. They don't look right. They won't feel right based on what's going on as you go towards Hurricane. So it came in with a new design. And did you hit that one? This would be like one of the interior units, but keep going. Please. It's come up with this more of a modern design, which would be part of this development. And I mean, from my experience, I think these look pretty darn nice. I think they're modern. They'll have a good feel. They kind of complement what's actually starting to happen in the city. The question is, I've heard in the past that these are not really acceptable to the city in some way or another. And my challenge to you would be, if you don't do something like this, what are you going to get? You're just going to end up with this building that's been sitting there for who knows how long and nothing's happening to it. And I don't know what else you're going to get.
Brad,
so
the dwellings, when they were first building them, I called them the Flintstone Village because I didn't think it was going to look pretty good, but they came out pretty well.
Yeah.
And these are kind of down the same.
That's what I told them. I said, you're going to have to do what they've done up there. You just can't come in with these other, you know, like the campgrounds that have the kind of like little log cabins. But I'm under the impression there's some issue with this kind of development at that location or some other locations. We're struggling with this right now. We'd like to get him going if he wants to do it, but we need to get your feedback as to what you guys think about something like this.
Can you hold to the standards to make sure they're put in right? We can see you put a picture up there that looks like that. But, just based on some of the other places they have in town, the old grocery store and things happen.
Well,
you're all falling out into the highway and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we would require them to go through that new precise plan requirement. So we'd have the design, you'd have the streetscape, you'd have the site plan, and that would is what would be approved, and that would what he would have to build.
So just to bring this in to perspective, Kyle and I have taken a step back. We put asked Brad to be in charge of meeting with all the commercial businesses coming in, going through the precise plan and the architectural standards, and then getting it to ready to go to Planning Commission for approval. And that way we're getting an outside perspective on things with Brad already having the experience. And Brad actually the one that drew up the architectural plans and the design criteria. So we think we're going to get a better product going.
So the back would be like a hotel, and then these would be like nightly rental. Like.
Yeah, I think there was a plan. I can't remember the architectural plan for the actual hotel. These would be...
Oh, the site plan was...
We didn't bring that with us. But with the precise plan requirement now, you're going to see this, the Planning Commission will see it. They're going to see the site plan. They're going to see a landscaping plan, any type of signage, and then they're going to approve it. And that's what they're going to have to build. They can't just go off in some other direction and build something else.
It's one of the first things we need to do is if we're going to have 8 to 10 foot sidewalks, get that in place so that anytime anybody builds along State Street that they take that into consideration, because that's going to take up a lot of space. And then there's areas along State Street that probably eventually we're going to have to buy property to be able to make it clear it's that way all the way down.
Is that in now, Kyle, the 10 foot?
It's being made up, and eventually you guys will vote on it as a resolution.
So we can make him put that in there as part of his site plan to have the sidewalk and some landscaping. That's what I told him, too. It's got a, like the landscaping on that other development up on the hill there as you're going towards Hurricane. They've done a nice job, I think.
Yeah.
With dry tolerance stuff. It looks good. I told him he's got to do something like that, too, to match that up.
Yeah. Brad, I do want to point out, too, that they were going to have their main office and functionality for the business aspect of meeting code. They would have an office lobby in the back original building. And that these would be an extension of that hotel, correct?
Yes, yes.
So it wouldn't be a short-term rental.
No, it's a hotel. These are hotel units.
It's a hotel
units.
With individual,
correct,
standalone buildings.
Which is allowed in there.
What was that? Yeah. But it does fall under the allowed uses in the general commercial and as well as the commercial retail as well, your transient lodging.
I like those. I think that's pretty. Make him do it.
It would make more sense with everything we're talking about to see if we can, instead of doing a hotel, do a long-term rental for locals so we're not, you know,
not
more housing. I mean, even so, like, there's still houses there on the street. But
just, you know, when you have when you have an existing structure like this one, which, let's face it, it's ugly. It's not fantastic. But for someone to come in and want to fix it back up and do something like this, I don't know what else you can do. Can't make them tear it down. You can sit there forever. So my thing has always been to work with them, try to get the best that you can. And if this is something that you guys think is appropriate, we can start down the path with him and get this thing done.
I don't mind that, but I still, just with my simple engineering mind, I feel like there's still some concerns for parking and turnaround for trash enclosures and such. I mean, he's got 23 stalls and 23 units. We're still going to have employees. And so I don't mind the idea, but I do think that there's some...
We can, yeah, I agree, yeah.
It's not...
Doesn't meet the current code.
No.
Yeah. Well, and maybe they lose a couple of units in order to get there. This was just to get it to you guys to say, okay, what do you think? So, everything okay here? Continue on with this one?
Yeah, and maybe just one thought I had. Brad, do you kind of function in that for us now for the city as someone's, like, they come to you first before they even get
to... Well, they go to these guys and then they send them to me.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I mean, I was just thinking, in Springdale with my experiences up there, if you, by the time it gets to the Planning Commission, like, you've been through so much, you know that it's ready and can be approved. I mean, it saves you... time. And I think a lot of times things just come at us. We've been small, right? So you just kind of let it go through. So I like this. I think that if we have a vision and a plan and they're prepared before they even come and ask, I think it's going to help that we'll get more of what we want.
Yeah, we're simply just checking a box saying, hey, this is a permitted use. You can do this. And then if they go beyond that, then it's straight to that.
Okay. Okay.
Brad, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, it'll come up later. Let's get going. We're going to be here all night.
Okay. This one I don't know that much about. I've got to turn over to
that. Yeah, we actually sit down with Micah on this one, too. So this was a conceptual plan by an individual that thought about doing it. So this is a sparse property. So if you see the orange part, that's commercial. If you see the pink part behind it, that's high density residential. That might be some center R36. Then it transitions out to R18 before it hits 100 West. And the thing about this is exactly, if you read the SR9 corridor study, this is what we talk about, because the high density residential actually pays for the roads and all the infrastructure on the roads in front of them and to the side of them, whereas the higher densities don't, and that becomes a burden to the city. So when we were talking, brought this up with Micah, And if I'm wrong, Mike, just yell at me. But okay. So you kind of like this proposal where the high density was kind of bookend and to where the commercial doesn't even open it up back up to an R18 before you transition back into the 10 and the 14s, right?
Yeah, it just if you don't know, the Hot Springs is to the right of that, you know, so that's 300 south there. But it, to me, living at the end of that road, you know, coming in, if we're going to have a high density, if it's right behind the commercial, but we've got it backing some R18 where there's single family homes on it, it seems like a good transition and a good place and flow for it, like it fits, and we can still keep.
Yeah, and that's where you're going to get your walkable downtown too, with the higher densities being right there. So we are slammed, when I say we, Kyle, because he does all my phone, answers the phone, on this type of proposed project. So this is really why we wanted Brad to bring it up tonight and start getting filled, because we're getting so many people coming in and want to do things, and we feel if we don't get some type of direction that we can take them down, rather say, we'll put you on the city council or the planning commission, and then you go through the whole 2 to 3 month process, we're going to lose people that want to develop, and we're going to end up getting the end pickings of whatever comes following this type of development. So that's kind of why we did it, and we kind of see this maybe being not the process all the way through, but for this particular piece of property, it actually fits quite well and accomplishes everything, that all the studies that we've had done.
So, well, this, to me, feels like, you know, this is the main street. I remember not too many years ago, they designated this area kind of as the historical area. Down on 100 West is the oldest house in Laverkan, you know, still in there. And I hate to be giving away any just kind of single residential. I know it's zoned for bigger lots, but I could even, you know, a residential smaller lots. But to be start stacking it, we just keep moving and pushing that area back, and that's just kind of what I'm feeling on that area. It's kind of feeling like that was that whole Main Street area feel.
So, well, and you kind of opened it up when you allowed the Hot Springs, when the Hot Springs were allowed to go in there. So I mean, it's changed dramatically, right? Probably the biggest.
And that wasn't my allow, but
yeah.
That was
feeling. Well, I mean, my overall allow. it was you know, and it's going to be a good thing for Laverkan. Yes. So I think the
and
time,
just
honestly,
keeps creeping and creeping.
Yeah. Well, but you're using 100 South or 100 West as the buffer. You know what? And I hate the NIMBYism. I don't even know if that's the word. Thank you. I'm going to add that to my dictionary. Is we're not going to allow any development over here, but we're going to push everything over to Interstate Rock property. If we want Laverkan to look uniformed in the process, that's got to be all the way across the board. To, you know, to whatever that worked out to be. I mean, where I live, I hate the restaurants and the vacation rentals that don't went in that corner, like the 20 or 30 vacation rentals and things like that. You know, that's not what I was accustomed to. But you know what? Progress and getting something that actually will benefit the citizens is more what I'm looking at, is where they pay for their roads, and we're not having to use BNC road funds and other mechanisms to repair what we have. So, like I said, it's a conceptual idea that was thrown out.
We modified the conception because I would say where that, and I know I'm not on commission by any means, but I am the neighbor.
Yeah.
And I have talked to all the neighbors around on 100 West and 300 South. They are not for this much of condensing all that housing right in these family neighborhoods. Is there a way to modify this plan so that we're not having it intrude into the residential as much? When you put two rows of 40 townhouses, that's going to create quite a congestion right there on 300 South with that 100 West.
So
is there a way to back it up a little bit?
Yeah, so the question is then, as a potential homeowner that could be living in that area. Right now you're zoned R114.
Right.
So if you, let's ask Richard, for example. Richard, how excited are you to have the parking lot behind you for the hot springs? You love it, right? Sherm, you love the hot springs parking lot? Would you like a buffer between you and the hot springs parking lot?
A little buffer.
Okay, so now this is an opportunity for us to have some multifamily. Now, none of this is all conceptual. So you guys could do an R14, a single family R14. You could do, but that's the thing, that's what this meeting's for. It's for us to make a plan so that we can decide how do we want to go forward. Because when people call me and they say, hey, what can I do on this lot? Say, hey, it's R14, 14,000 square foot. They go, well, if I buy that for $2 million, I've got to sell these lots for $400,000 to make it pencil. So then that lot will always be a field because no one will buy it.
I like cows, personally.
So I understand. We all love the rural field. I get it. However,
realize this is conceptual. We can go back and design whatever we want.
What I'm wondering is where do you get to put a zone so that it's.
We don't make that decision. These people do.
Well, at one time, R16 was a workable proposition.
Yeah.
It's getting less and less of that now because of the expensive property.
So where do you get to say, this is the zone, we've worked on it, we've come up with this plan, here it is, and not 5 years down the road say, oh, it didn't get developed, we want to redo the zoning again.
That can happen all the time.
Anyway, I don't know how this came up. I just happened to be down in Derek. Showed it to me, and if we need high density somewhere, right, just in my mind as he talked about it, right behind the commercial that's right on State Street seemed to be the most logical to keep it closest to, right. It just seemed to me, because I don't know where else.
That's your first turn as you're coming into the main residential of Laverkin. I just feel like it would overcrowd it to put that much all right there.
Well, we just need to decide what density would be.
Right, but I'm just throwing this out. And I'm just throwing this out here. I'm not excited about it, right? Like, I'm not. I'd love the fields, and I'd love to, but just thinking about it, and I'm open to anything. I just don't know where else we're going to put it. So, anyway. Oh, the mayor's in charge. I'm not in charge.
I would like you to keep in mind also, we're trying to create a village in Laverne. You can't have all the multifamily in one corner because then you end up with what Washington has. That's your crime corner. You're always going to have that. The successful, healthy communities are this.
It's
commercial. Then you've got high density. Then you've got lower density. Then you've got the bigger homes. And then that's a healthy
community. So what I'm saying is that's so close being so tight on townhomes. Are we talking these are only going to be townhomes, not 3 and 4 story apartment complexes where that is?
If you read on the paper, it says R36 zone.
That would be a
6,000 square foot base lot, and every additional unit would be adding 4,000 square feet. So those fourplexes. Right now that he has shown, he has more units than is actually allowed.
I don't even think that's allowed.
That is more units than is permitted. So remember, this is a conceptual idea. We're just trying to get an idea of, hey, can we do duplexes with an R110? Or if R110s have duplexes taken out, are we going to create a zone that does allow for some type of duplexes or triplexes or something in that area? And that's what this is going back to what Brad's trying to do, is he's trying to say, hey, what do we want to be when we grow up? Like, what do we want to have? Because right now, the biggest apartment complex that could go in is a fourplex, which, if that's all that we want, that's fine. But we just have to figure out what we want to do, because we don't even have the opportunity for even what the Zittings built in Hurricane up by Sky Mountain. We don't even have the ability to do that. We have no ability to do any type of apartments other than a fourplex.
One thing to note, too, is on the north side of that property we're talking about, there will be another access on the highway.
100
here.
200.
160, somewhere in there.
Oh, is that 200 south or somewhere in that neighborhood?
Yeah, that's not even a road now.
That is 200 south.
Yeah.
Brad?
Trying to be close to where the 170 is going into Pheasant Land, but won't match up exactly.
Here's my take, because I've lived down here, and when we go walking, the sunsets are beautiful over those fields. But if you think back to World War II, Hiroshima and Nagasaki thought that they had the war bypassed them, because what the planners actually had in the bombing was, when they dropped that atom bomb, they wanted to see what happened. They wanted to have a clean city, so they dropped it on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. This property here, when Sherman's uncle passed away, became the prime Hiroshima of Laverkan. I mean, there's hardly any space just like this. I knew that was going to happen. Sherman knew it. We all knew it was going to happen, plus all the explosive development. So what I'm seeing here in a concept, as much as I'm swallowing rocks to say it, in a concept, I like the idea of the way it's working. The townhomes worry me just by the density and the fact that he hasn't even shown any plan for it. Townhomes mean kids. Kids mean kids in the street. There's no green space areas, etc. But in the concept, just like Kyle is describing it, and what Sherman and Debbie and all of us have the concern is, this is Hiroshima, and we ought to plan it really nicely. And I like the idea that if we had a wide street and a wide sidewalk, and had State Street access with wide sidewalks, and we had some really planned development here, this property is going to be used no matter. We don't need to drop an atom bomb on it. We can do something like this concept. So I am, as much as I'm swallowing rocks to say it, I'm half on board with this anyway, because it's going to happen. Let's do it right.
That's really what I mean. What, not this density, but do it right. I realize we need definitely the commercial, but let's slow down how much that density is in the next section. But let's build it into the residents. The ones that have, you know, I've lived at my place for over almost 35 years. I feel like Laverkan is my home. I want to be able to still have that feeling of, you know, up around the corner, know my neighbors, be able to walk it. If we crowd it too much, that's going to take that away.
So,
I'm not saying we can't adjust. I'm just saying the way it's drawn is too much.
So what I'm hearing is the concept of this, not necessarily the details,
right,
maybe not necessarily the density, the concept of it is okay.
I like the concept.
Okay. Does it so the make concept, and see, once you figure the concept is okay, we can talk to the developer and come up with something, talk to the residents, make sure everybody's on board, if the concept is okay. And it sounds like that's where we're at.
I like the concept because it gives us the plan that doesn't drop an atomic bomb. And it gives us the transition like Derek's been talking about for several years. Just modifying it.
Does it make any sense to allow maybe more like multi-use buildings on that front commercial to allow them to have more open space? Or is that too expensive for the builder? And maybe
you don't know until you push them and ask. So
I think we should.
And you're right, there should be some open space. There should be some areas of play.
I get that question every day.
Most developers are going to come in and they're going to give you the whole nine yards. And then you got to peel back.
No, no, that not the develop, but just that concept is if we, I know some of these communities have really pushed that multi-use on their state streets, so they had
two or three
stories, and then have more open, like if people were living above the retail. And then the purple was more open space park, you know, amenities for the development. Does that make any sense, or that concept, or not really?
Well, I mean,
maybe you could do the concept and take out a section of those units to force some open space, because this doesn't show any open space at all, other than in the commercial. There's a little spot right there, but you have that many people in one spot. They're going to need some kind of an open space.
Well, I always believe that the developer and we as a staff need to work with you and the people that are affected and live there and get you on board and understanding what's going on.
Would you rather see the development right on State and then more open space behind it, or?
I'm fine with getting commercial along State Street. I'm just concerned at how densely, how quickly it turns.
No, what I'm saying is, would you rather have the commercial and the residential right on State, so it's not leading back into the community, and then have the back of the property more open space, or is those multi-level not what we want?
You know, as an example, when you're coming on the curve from Hurricane, the old fire station's now something else. They built a bunch of townhomes.
Yeah.
Those style, and it's set back a little. I'm fine with something similar, where they've got their own parking, they've got space to get in and out. I'm just more concerned how packed. I don't want it to be 3 and 4 stories of anything. I want it to fit into the neighborhood that it's coming into. Open space, obviously they're going to need it if you're going to do townhomes. There's going to be some kind of an open space.
You're going to see townhomes that would be 3-story.
You know, I think what we need to do to help these guys is to come up with, you know, some type of guidance, right? Some type of, you know, if we like the concept, then we kind of determine the details and what can...
We need to be more jealous of our commercial to it and be careful about vacation rentals on State Street, I think.
I agree with that.
The fire department isn't going to let those happen anyhow. There's just one entrance to all those vacation rentals. So this is just a concept. I agree with the concept.
As long as we have that, then we can deal with the developer, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, and we never considered this to be stacked. We always considered it to be single.
Yeah, I think when they talked to me, that high density was all single level stuff,
well,
right?
What we needed,
which kind of makes sense. Because I 100% agree with that. Yeah.
We come up with the concepts, and then we do a rendering of the whole. That would be so much easier for people to see a rendering than...
Well, that's where that $60,000 could come
in. Well, and I think we need to spend some community outreach and invite people to come to these planning commissions, because you're here, and you can invite your neighbors who you've talked to.
But
you know, we all need to invite people to come.
If the average person, like, can come in and see those renderings, it would be, like, say we had three concepts of what we wanted to look like in renderings. Yeah. That'd be so much easier than...
Save a lot of heartache in the neighborhood to not have to feel like they suddenly were bombarded with...
That's what they did with the redesign of Wanless Park when they put that up. They had 3 or 4 different options,
mm-hmm.
put it out to the community, hey, which one do you like best, so we know if we're going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Something like that would be good, too. Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of what this is, and I think that, again, when we talk about concept, I think that the idea of commercial in the front with us as a community saying that we're open for business, for your creativity as a developer to come up with a way to be able to fit what the needs of the community are. We're hitting on all cylinders here if we're talking about we're going to be able to make something open for business along State Street, but yet we're giving the flexibility to somebody who's going to come and make the investment on a property to be able to understand that we are open for business to be able to take their creativity and find a way to be able to have it work in harmony with the rest of our community. And I think this, you know, a concept like this should demonstrate that to developers.
Yeah, I think I appreciate that. I think we've got enough. We can probably start working with a developer on that.
And I do believe you guys passed some ordinances that really helped clear up some of it as far as zoning goes.
Mm-hmm.
So that will really help with that. So thank you.
The next one we want to get a little feedback on is this R110 multifamily dwelling. And you want to...
Yeah, so when that happened, we went through the whole R110 and put a start on the properties that actually met the size requirements. So you're to R110, you have to have 16,000 square feet within R110 to have a duplex. Now, the duplexes have to be connected. It can't be 2 separate buildings. It's got to be connected, share a common wall. So we put that on there so that it kind of gave you a better idea. So that would be under the 16,000 square feet. So then we decided, wonder if we, because we really weren't sure the reason why, so wonder if there were 2A properties available to have a duplex, then I wonder if we up the square footage requirement to 20,000 square feet. So I think we went from
62 to 43
at the 20,000 square foot. But I thought it would be good for you to be able to see the properties that were actually have the potential to be a duplex. Not really knowing the reason why, you know, to have the, we basically put it on a, not a stall, but we call it on a...
What? Hey, why don't you explain?
The R110, basically...
Moratorium.
Moratorium,
yeah.
In
yeah.
essence. So that was just some ideas.
So as soon as this went to Planning Commission, I have had to stop talking to people about duplexes. I average probably 2 to 3 calls a week on, hey, can I build a duplex here? And so since that's happened, we have stopped it because it's
Let Faye explain the reason we went that route and instead of doing a moratorium and the reason behind it.
Yeah, when this became a concern, there are a couple of options the city could have taken to prevent people from obtaining vested rights in any application for a duplex. This concept of vested rights simply means that a person has a vested right to have their application considered under the law that's in existence at the time a completed application is submitted to the city. And we were afraid that if information got out to people that we were considering something, changing the R110 and the ability to put duplexes on there, that there might be a run of applications that would eventually become vested. So there are two ways to prevent that from happening. One way is for the city to simply declare a moratorium. It passed an ordinance, and that moratorium would mean that nobody could even go so far as to submit an application. A moratorium could only last for 6 months. It's you have to have, in language of the statute, there has to be a compelling, countervailing public interest that you can identify in the ordinance. Now, I'm not sure what countervailing means, but compelling, of course, you know, we can understand that. And so whenever you enact a moratorium, it's always subject to attack by people saying, well, look, you don't have a compelling interest. The other way of preventing vested rights from occurring is pursuant to this doctrine called pending ordinance doctrine. And basically what that says is, if you have an ordinance that you've prepared and you've advertised for a public hearing and you've held a public hearing, you've got the ordinance drafted, it's pending, then nobody then can obtain a vested right in any application that they might file. And so that's why we hurriedly drafted the ordinance that we presented to Planning Commission the other night without any talk or discussion with the Planning Commission. That's why Planning Commission was caught off guard, because they didn't know what that was for or what, you know, why it appeared like that, and neither did City Council. But the reason for that was then by holding the public hearing, by having the ordinance drafted, by giving public notice, that then prevents people from coming in and saying, well, look, I now have a vested interest because I have filed an application. So that's the reason we did it that way. And that's, and we knew, of course, that we would have to have this kind of a discussion before we could make any kind of decision. So,
so I guess the question is, where do we go from here? I mean, what is the ground rules that we're trying to do so we can get to where we need to be?
Do we have a time limit on this ordinance that we have to approve or not?
As long as we're actively considering it, no. There's no real time frame.
obviously you have to proceed in good faith. You simply can't put something on the agenda and have a public hearing and then just let it go for a year. You have to be actively engaged in trying to determine how you want to amend your ordinance, if at all, and so forth. So
I guess that would be my question, is what do we consider? I'm not sure I fully understand why we're abandoning the duplex idea, and I guess I want a better idea from whoever pushed this, because it was definitely an off-guard feel for all of us.
Yeah.
And I don't think I fully understand. I mean, I definitely won't be making any recommendations until I get a full understanding of it.
That's my question as well. Are we anti-duplexes on these lots? Is that why we're doing this? And why are we anti-duplex on these lots, if we are?
But my question is also, for lots that are, 16,000 square feet and they're stuck in an R110, is there any future thought of, reducing those to R18 and letting them subdivide? Because they could still build two structures on the same lot. They wouldn't need to build a duplex, but we could modify the code in that way and allow them to build additional space if that's what they really want.
And that was the purpose of doing it, this way to allow for discussion like that. Do we want to go that route, or do we want to do duplexes? Or
because we're stuck with a 20,000 square foot lot on it and an R110, and can never build anything other than one home, which is what they're kind of set up under code now for. All of those are one single dwelling, unless we modify that code in some way.
Why do they then request a zone change too? They could come in and say, "I want
yeah, they could," but then we're going to have to go area by area, plot by plot, to try and accomplish that, and it doesn't seem the way to go.
St. George, did you see those lots that they allowed them to have the two small homes on that were two-story, and then the back they have a garage with a rental on the top, so there's four units on each lot, and they were so classy, like, you wouldn't sound like things you had in. They are so cool, like compared to a duplex. They're four independent properties on, they're small.
Yeah. Well, some lots would naturally fit that and be able to subdivide. Others wouldn't. It depends on the access and, frontage and the lot.
Those are all downtown, like 200 South in St. George, so they're all square, quarter acre lots. So it was easy for them to do that in certain spots, but not every single house, but where they allowed that tighter density inside of what they call infill, they're really cool. They're not. There's not a lot of them, but.
Well, this kind of discussion kind of helps, because I'm kind of thinking we're sitting here trying to push higher density areas, and then all of a sudden saying we can't have duplexes. To me, I think that would almost be part of helping this feel a little bit of a relief in all of that kind of the area.
And based on that map, I mean, actually only one store that doesn't have, if you look at the 16,000 lot, there's one blue store, one that doesn't have a development. So most of these already have houses. So that would be someone who wants to push to make the investment to tear it down and put in the duplex. But a lot of people would just keep the single-family houses. I don't imagine every single one of these people are going to want to tear the house down and put two duplexes.
No, I can guarantee at least one of them doesn't want to do that. And the one next door.
Right. So, but you guarantee someone who wants to do that option, be a little bit more density, without going super high density, you add just a duplex.
This is me here. Yeah.
Seems so, to me a lot of these long, thin lots,
this property,
too.
This property.
That's just not going to be feasible. Yeah. We're not going to have parking access. It's not going to fit our code
piece
for most of the other thing, red stars on that.
So, just to give you some context, I think it came to my attention from some complaints from what was the name of that little subdivision across from Earl's? Chaco Ridge. That what was proposed and then what went in were the duplexes, which we can do on R110. In looking at the maps, and I agree with you on a lot of these, you've got stuff on there already, right? I guess, and I explained it earlier, my concern was, have we talked about this? Have you, is this planned? Is it, Like, if it's been part of the plan, great. If it's another one of those things where this is what our ordinance allows and we just haven't been aware of it, you know, looking at that and looking at it with Derek, you know, the Hardy property, not Hardy, what's their name?
Mangum.
Property with the goats that runs from, you know, 200 North up to, do we want a piece that big on Main Street to become duplexes, right? And no. And if we do, then I just hope that we could, the couple of people that I've heard since this came on there have been from realtors sending me an email saying, look, I don't, you know, it hasn't been residents saying we want this. It's been more of those who have an interest in this is valuable property if we can do duplexes. And I'm okay with whatever our plan is. I just want to make sure we're aware of what it is and it's what we want.
Where that property is, that's one lot. So you'd be allowed one duplex there, right? It's not like allowing it for duplexes means you can put all the duplexes you want. It'd be one duplex unless they split the lot, right?
Right, or if it's subdivided like the Chaco Ridge, right? So that's...
Right. As it stands right now, that's one lot.
Yeah.
On the map. Yeah. So... I mean, they'd have to come back for approval to subdivide and split that lot if they wanted to do that, right?
Eventually, that's going to happen.
Right, right, and that's.
Well, that wouldn't come back. For
well, the Chaco Ridge.
Google through the Alua. So you guys won't have any idea.
But at that point, it's a lot harder to say no because it's already zoned.
Yeah.
So
it makes sense now.
So what we're doing tonight is what I hoped would happen is that we could just decide.
Yeah, if Chaco Ridge would have went down to 8,000 square foot lots, they'd just put more buildings and there wouldn't have been any duplexes.
Mm-hmm.
That's, if we close out the duplexes, then we allow subdivision or shrinking some of those zones.
Right.
We're going to obtain the same thing.
Where's Chaco Ridge? It sounds like it's in Candyland.
It's right before 100 North goes to dirt, or 100 East goes to dirt.
Oh, okay. Like,
is that one that's tucked
it's
up?
It's been defunct since.
Y'all have names for things.
What's
I'm still learning.
What's the name of that house? Rocky Crest?
Yeah, Rocky Crest.
Okay.
Up behind
it. Yeah. Okay.
Which I think what Faye said is it bought some time to be able to actually say, okay, do we like it how it is? And everything's great, you know? Or
so currently
I think
that would
be a travesty to have that part of downtown duplexes where that start is. That would be the worst.
What would you want to see there?
I would love to see, like... I would love to see those work-live units down that street where they have cool, like, Dr. Bice on.
What's true? What's
talking
about?
Well, this is the social
like
point we talked about earlier.
Are we
going to be rural?
But if they split it,
did we not pay the power bill?
Our electrician evidently put these on a really fast timer, so I apologize.
So
I'm not a change room, so.
Something
all right, give me a screwdriver, I'll fix it.
And a wire nut.
I can do it. So are we basically deciding if we want to keep it at 16,000 or move it up to 20,000? Is that what we're coming down to?
No, whether we want to
allow
them.
Okay, allow them at all.
The duplexes. Yeah.
Got it.
I think if you raise the property size, they're just going to split the lot in two or try to do a flag lot of some sort because it's going to be, if I have a flag lot, which I don't know if we defined if casitas are allowed on a flag lot or not. However, they're going to make potentially one lot with one house into four units, whether it's dividing two and then they have a casita and a house. That's going to become four units instead of just one, or it could be two units instead.
But I think we got out of it what we wanted tonight, at least. We know what we want to look at doing going forward, right? And how, you know, so now this becomes a pointed topic at the planning commission side.
The bedtime.
Of things.
Yeah, obviously.
Somebody's calling if they go to bed.
Obviously, we've got to go through the process. The planning commission is going to have to review it. And it may take several meetings. It may take a lot of meetings to go through it. Come up with a recommendation to the city council. That recommendation might be, yeah, approve the ordinance as is, approve the ordinance with these changes, or not approve it at all. And then it's going to be up to the city council to make that final determination.
So, I mean, maybe just to answer, just from my view, and Christian, answer your thing, I think I'm okay with all of this. It's just how we talked about what's our vision for State Street and Main Street. And where there's a big parcel on Main Street, I think it changes Main Street if we leave it how it is and if we choose to do that.
Main Street can't stay like that.
But that to me was the alarm. I don't think I anything else, and I've got some close to me. I have no problem with duplexes. I'm all for us being able to help on affordability, but that parcel on.
So
right,
that's the question.
There.
Is there something else we can do about if that parcel's the problem, and something we don't want to see turn into duplexes? Is there something we can do about that parcel that doesn't affect, well, allowing all the others, but something that allows that to be more commercial,
right.
Something that has a more of a potential, like the word live, something else that could be there that's not duplexes, but just affecting that one parcel. I don't know if there's a way we can affect one parcel, but.
Yeah.
Well, I love
not,
it. That's to the property owner.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't seem like. I mean, they sold that other piece. Didn't they used to own that whole square?
Yeah, the whole part.
Yeah, they own the whole thing.
Main
so.
Street
to SR9. It's to SR9. They still do. I just
there's
think it's
a section.
I thought
it's split.
One.
So if you see, there's that.
Oh, that's.
Line.
Okay,
so the
yeah.
North of that fence line between the fire department, mm-hmm. Greater North and stuff, that's owned by one brother, and then the south is owned by a different sibling.
Okay.
But that parcel needs to fit in our plan for sure.
You're talking about the.
Magnum. The goats.
Yeah.
This one.
Yeah, that's the magnum.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to save the goat tree. I will start a petition.
The goat tree.
The goat tree. You cruise right there at this time of night. The goats are there.
Okay, so good with that one then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Finally, this is the last one, and we're going to try to keep it brief, but we've been working on this mixed-use ordinance now. A long time. And there's a few questions with that. One of it is, should it be just an overlay zone or should it be a standalone zone? And if it's an overlay zone, what zone should be allowed in? Should it be tourist commercial, retail commercial? Should it be property size limited like we've done in the past? And then something about tourist commercial? Yeah. That's kind of it, but everyone's aware of this zone, right? As to what it is, what was supposed to be accomplished by it. We don't need to go into a lot of detail with this tonight, but if you could just think in those terms as to where you want this to be located, that would be helpful.
Now, the hotel people that's on the north of Davis Market, aren't they kind of waiting to see what we're going to do with that?
That's what I understand, yes.
Yeah.
Derek, or can... The difference between live work and mixed use. Live work is where it's one building where both are combined in it, and mixed use is the property will have some commercial but also some.
Yeah, so the bottom main floor will be all commercial, and then they can be residential.
In the mixed use.
It could be a maximum,
yeah.
Maximum of four stories. The bottom floor has to be commercial.
Or
so
we can say the bottom two.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's
I know in St. George they have like the bottom floor and then 50% of the second floor and then a small percentage on the third floor and then the rest, you know, is residential. I think we originally went with the main floor, right?
Yeah.
When we were doing it.
Yeah.
But those are, but I think we actually had a public hearing on that. We just didn't make any decision on it because these questions then arose as we were going through it is how do we put it out there?
The good thing about a standalone zone is that you can just put it in your ordinance and then you can put it on a piece of property. Where if you do an overlay zone, you're going to overlay it over several different zones and then it can be allowed anywhere. So you have a lot more control if you just do the standalone.
And then you would have a vote on whether or not it becomes that property actually
exactly.
Does permit. That.
Exactly, yeah. You can actually control where this goes. If you do the overlay, can go anywhere that you overlay it. So this one's been around a long time. And
we can write a size to the zone so that we're not having people want a little piece of property.
We can do that,
can
yeah.
Write a minimum size
yeah.
For it.
So it's
yeah.
Kind of like what you did. Remember, I heard the tourist, the old, what's the guy, Ponchos and Lefties, what's his name?
Miguel Perez.
Miguel Perez property. Remember, he wanted to do those either vacation rentals or the higher density. but we made them have a minimum of 2 acres. All the commercial had to be up front, and then all the other stuff was in the back. So the commercial took precedence over the residential part, which is what's highlighted in the yellow. But it's just amazing how many questions we got after we thought we had this pretty much kicked in the butt and was ready to go forward that came up. You know, because the guy on the corner with the hotel, that's the crucial piece he's waiting for to move on with his hotel.
Straight north of Davis.
So if you guys look here on this zoning map, it's this corner right here. You can see up here in the top corner, we have an MU written. Mm-hmm. That stands for the mixed use. That's what he's wanting to do up here. So he...
Right there?
Yes, on the corner across the street from Davis to the north.
Okay.
So that's the David Hilburn. Kyle, you've had conversations with him.
Does he still want to do vacation rentals there? Because that's what he originally wanted to do.
When I talked to him last, it was apartments.
We've written in this that vacation rentals would not be allowed.
Yeah. I know that's what he originally said. That I told him that the city was down the city and that we wanted to maintain commercial aspect. And if we're going up, doesn't matter. And one of the things that I know St. George does, I think they require that first floor to be 10 or 12 feet so it looks a little more open and spacious on the commercial side of things.
We actually have there's a graduated setback like we've used on others from the residential, so that you just don't have the 40-foot high building right next to a house.
And that's based on part of the city.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. In their experience, having that higher ceiling on the commercial side of things was better.
Yeah.
I think that sounds like a good idea. The higher ceilings in the commercial, so it doesn't feel as cramped. I can see why they went that route.
So the question is, do you want it as an individual zone? That way, you have complete control as to where it goes.
Yeah. I think it makes more sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll do that. We'll go ahead, and this is pretty much ready to go.
Why don't we increase the main floor to the 12?
I think we do 15.
Okay.
Dang, 15 is tall.
Because you're going to have room for their mechanical and different things like that.
Yeah.
Stuff. And then potentially, if they had anything that was needing to be ran to the...
So the height of the commercial to 15?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that first.
We can do that, get it back in front of the planning commission, and then get it to the council.
And that could happen fairly quickly, couldn't it?
Yeah.
It's pretty close right now.
Derek? Didn't we do a public hearing on this?
Or do
we have to do another one?
Probably if we go through and change a lot, we'll probably have to re-hit a public hearing again. We probably changed enough, or we'll be changing enough.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Mayor wants to get it. The planning commission he wants the mayor wants it as soon as possible.
We were for it.
Okay.
Until we weren't.
So we've already posted for next week those three hearings, so we can do it the following planning commission.
Okay.
We can get that information to Faye, and then Faye can get it to Nancy.
So we get out to the city council by May?
Yeah, your first meeting in May.
Okay.
You may have failed the mayor, doesn't know
what
he wants.
Okay, that kind of does it for tonight.
Mayor.
Did everybody find this to be valuable as far as being able to talk about this kind of stuff? And if so, is it something we should do again?
I think it should be done again, and I like this format of being around a table rather than just up there. It's not real conducive to having great, in-depth conversation.
This helps so much.
Yeah,
did the mouse help at all?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, in order to move forward expeditiously when these projects come in, I think this is a valuable setting to have. We can sit around and talk about it, and then when it actually gets to the planning commission and council, we can actually get stuff done.
I appreciate the planning commission and council, because a lot of times we do a lot of things, put a lot of time and effort, and then it gets shot down.
Yeah.
Very different ideas, so it's good to have us.
Yeah, I don't know some of you. I know John's been around and been on there, so I'm Amanda Barr. I know a couple of your faces. But.
And we know the goat tree.
Right? Everyone knows the goat tree. I take pictures of it every time, and I pass it on.
Brad, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor has to adjourn us.
I had a proposal here, Brad, to convert our Main Street to pedestrian, horses, and electric bikes.
Yeah.
I was going to propose tonight. It was April Fool's. I didn't have time.
Darren, I'd vote for it.
I'm all for it. Although,
I like, are we adjourned, Mayor?
So many horses passing by my house right now.
We are.
I like
Kelly.
Right in front of my house.
Tell us the word, Jerry.